Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Crash Test Support Division here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, the folks at NHTSA, everyone knows NHTSA.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration?
Yes, those are the guys that crash the cars in order to determine which ones are safe and which ones have to be sold with the funeral wreath mounted right on the grill. Anyway, they're rethinking the crash test dummy phenomenon, or whatever you want to call it.
I read that. There was an article in
every paper.
In Automotive News.
Yes.
Everywhere in the world there was an article, yeah.
And anyway, NHTSA has been using one kind of crash test dummy for years, and it apparently just dawned on them that using only one body type is ridiculous because drivers come in an infinite variety of body types, right?
You ain't kidding.
So now they're
building. I've been married to most of them, personally.
Oh,
Not all of them.
Dig yourself right in, man.
Half of them.
Half. Which half would that be?
I don't think I want to go there.
Well, anyway, they are now building, or maybe breeding is the right word, a whole family of dummies for crash testing.
Yeah.
Now, right now, they're using like a 5 foot, 10 inch, 170-pound male dummy, modeled after my brother. And some other members of NHTSA's new dummy family will be, for example, a 5 foot, 3 inch, 107-pound female and a child dummy. I know a few kids that could model
that
after.
I think this is important. I mean, the child dummy, you know, the trouble is that they don't do it right. Here's the problem, because NHTSA is a bunch of engineers. And so when they do these tests, like they have the driver sitting there behind the steering wheel with, like, both hands on the steering wheel.
Right.
And then they crash the car.
No, you need to...
What about the guy leaning over? He's getting coffee out of the cup holder. He's changing the radio station.
Oh, he's trying to fish out a cigarette that fell down between his legs.
Right? I mean, that's when the accidents happen.
Right, with his butt lifted off the seat and his head leaning forward.
His head is leaning
exactly.
forward.
The accidents
I mean,
happen.
You don't have an accident when you're sitting there behind the wheel with both hands on the steering
Not
wheel.
Not usually.
No.
No, when you're groping for that cassette tape that fell under the seat.
Exactly. When you're leaning behind you to get stuff out of the back seat.
Or to give the kids a dope slap.
Exactly right. So we're going to try to straighten them out. I mean, like the thing with the kids. They got a 60-pound baby or something they're going to put in the back seat. But what they really should have is a couple of kids trying to strangle each other. And one of them trying to push the other one out the window. That's what realism is. Come on, guys. Get it straight.
And there's got to be a mother-in-law. 4'11", 350. Sitting in the back seat, but leaning forward.
Yeah.
Leaning forward.
Between the seats.
Between
yeah.
the seats, trying to tell the
son-in-law.
The son-in-law where to go.
Or how to use the global positioning system. Pressing all the buttons. What's this one for? What's this one for, David?
Anyway, if you want to talk to a couple of real dummies, the number is 1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Dr. Ralph Armstrong in Monroe, Louisiana.
Hi, Dr. Ralph. How are you?
Very, very well. Thank you. I've got a 93 Suburban.
Wait a minute. What kind of a doctor are you?
I'm a gynecologist.
Ah.
Okay.
But I've got a 93 Suburban that about 2 weeks ago, I turned off the ignition and a clicking sound started under the dashboard. And it lasted about 20 seconds, and I turned the ignition back on, and it came back on again. I have a recording of it here that I can play for you. And it comes on every time that I turn on the ignition, and it lasts 20 seconds because I've timed it. And then when I stop and turn the ignition off, it comes on for 20 seconds.
You could set your watch by it.
Yes, yes. Now, here's the sound. I've got a recording here. That's the sound that it
got
makes.
It.
I got it, too. Remember that? There was a quiz show that used to be on when we were kids called Beat the Clock.
No.
But you know, it's so regular. It sounded at first like maybe there was something alive under the hood, and I looked, but there was nothing there.
Yeah, woodpecker. I mean, it's definitely woodpecker sound. A little slower than a real woodpecker, but very close.
Do you listen to the radio?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you have a power antenna?
No, it's just a regular antenna with...
Oh, what a bummer!
Well, you know, I've turned the air conditioner on and off. It's not affected by that. It doesn't affect the functioning of the car. I still drive.
Yeah, no, well, I think it has something to do with the heating and ventilation system.
I like it.
Under the dash, there are vacuum motors. Actually, they're not really motors like you would think of a motor in the traditional sense, but it is a motor, and then it moves a door.
Right. When you apply some force to it, it moves the door. The
like
force
vacuum.
Happens to be vacuum.
Oh, I see.
And what's happening is you're hearing that flap, 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 flap. And
play it again. Let's see if we really believe this story.
All right, let me see if I can turn it on again. I'm getting to kind of like it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I mean, why would you want to get rid of it?
No, I mean, you've obviously said that it has no effect on the performance of the car, you know, so why bother? But I think it's one of those doors that's either, when you shut the car off, you interrupt the source of vacuum.
Uh-huh.
So the door, which is being held open by the vacuum, keeps going pip, 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 pip.
It'll open, close, and it'll pop, 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 pop.
Until finally the vacuum source is gone completely. It goes down to zero, and the noise goes away.
Okay, but you don't think it's dangerous by leaving it unfixed for a little while?
Our lawyers have told us not to ever say that.
Right. Everything has the potential to be dangerous,
everything
Dr.
Has
Ralph.
The potential
I'm familiar
to be dangerous.
With that.
You think that you got malpractice insurance.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing.
It's killing us.
That's a concept I'm fully aware of.
Yeah, but it sure doesn't sound to me like it's dangerous.
Okay.
So but you need to stick your head up under that dashboard, and you'll find it immediately.
Okay, I was a little afraid to do that because, you know, I don't want to do anything to hurt my hands. That's the main thing.
That is important.
There's nothing up there that can hurt you.
Okay, good.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
It's a rattlesnake.
It could be a rattler. Louisiana water moccasin could be under that dashboard.
Sounds like a rattlesnake, doesn't it? A little bit.
Is he still there? He's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah. Oh,
don't do anything. Take it to the deal. See you later.
Okay.
Thanks, Dr. Ralph.
Appreciate you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. But the power antenna would have been so good.
Oh, the power antenna is the answer. I mean, he may think he doesn't have a power antenna, but he does. General Motors, in their great wisdom, sneaked in half of a power antenna.
Oh, yeah?
So the motor is down there.
But the antenna isn't.
But the antenna isn't.
In case he ever wanted it, all the doors.
They would have to just dump it in. Because it's cheaper for them to put it in.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Marcia, and I'm calling from San Francisco.
Marcia.
So it must be, this is clever. It must be Marsha.
That's correct. Anybody who was born in the 50s spells their name with an S-H-A because there was some actress who's...
is that right?
Our fathers were in love with this actress, and so he got named Marcia with an S-H-A.
Is it like Marcia Mason or somebody like that?
Yeah, I think somebody like...
Marcia Brady, I think, yeah.
I think that was much later.
Marcia. Do you have a standard shift car?
I do, and it has 140,000 miles, and it still has the original clutch.
How many miles?
140,000.
How can that be possible? We were in San Francisco together one time, my brother and I, and we said, you got to be a complete screwball to have a standard transmission in a city like San Francisco. So I guess my brother was, in a way, calling you, Marcia, a screwball.
By association.
Now, isn't that a nice thing to say to a person he doesn't even know?
Well, no, it's not, but, you know, it might take one to...
Yes, it does. But that's not your question,
but
right?
This has something to do with the problem.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm pregnant with twins.
Wow.
And my husband and I have two cars. We have my BMW with 140,000 miles with the original clutch, and we have his Toyota Celica with about that many miles on it, and his Toyota's falling apart.
Yeah.
So... we're going to get rid of his Toyota, and we're going to get a mommy car.
Mm. Yeah.
No van. We're actually thinking about a RAV.
A RAV?
A Toyota RAV.
RAV is a mommy car? Come on, Marcia.
You don't think so?
Have you talked him into this?
I think so.
You're good.
I'm gonna tell you.
You are good.
Women love this car.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it's cute and looks manageable.
It is, it is manageable, and it fits into our garage. You know how in San Francisco all the garages are underneath the houses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the right size. There's no question about it.
Okay, now there's another problem, though.
Yeah?
We're going to get rid of my husband's old Toyota Celica, and he's going to drive my BMW.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, it is, except that, you know, he's Honduran, so everything is a little bit slower there. I lived in Boston for 10 years. I learned to drive there, so I drive my car pretty aggressively. When my husband drives my BMW, he's...
More sane. More sane than you are.
Well, yeah, and not nearly as aggressive. So what he does is he'll start to drive and he'll put it in second gear and at like 1500 RPMs, and I keep telling him he has to rev up the engine a little bit more, and it's better for the engine.
Absolutely.
Well, no matter what happens, when the clutch on the BMW fails, you're going to blame him because number one, he'll be driving it.
Absolutely.
And it'll be his fault, you know. So, but bear in mind, with 140,000, it's probably on its last legs, the clutch.
Yeah, no, you should count on a clutch. I mean, because with 140,000 miles on the car, the clutch is gone. Absolutely. And so let's not even blame him for the clutch.
Okay, I'll give him a little slack.
Cut him some slack on the clutch issue.
Okay, but what do you think about this shifting gears?
No, you're right.
As a matter of fact, BMW did a big study a bunch of years ago in which they suggested that you get into high gear as quickly as possible.
No. That was only for increased mileage.
No, as long as the thing doesn't ping, their recommendation is get up through the gears and get into high gear as soon as you can.
But not in San Francisco. No, man, you want to be, you could exist in San Francisco in first gear only. If you only had one gear, it would be first gear, and you would never have to shift.
Yeah, maybe two gears.
Because it works going up, it works coming down.
Well,
it's perfect.
Go through his stuff and find out how many receipts he has for new clutches on the Celica. If he has more than six or seven, then he's probably bad at it. But
you know what to do? Go to your mechanic and tell him to put the thing in first gear and weld it there. So if he wants to go backwards, he just throws the clutch in and he'll roll backwards.
Well, will you tell him that what the problem is with putting it into second gear at 1,500 RPMs instead of driving out to 3,500 or so?
Sure, you're lugging the engine all the time.
But if you're only driving at 12 miles an hour, which is what you're doing in San Francisco, and it's always 50 degrees there, at least every time I've been there, it's been 50 degrees, then don't worry about it. You're not going to overheat it. You're not going to hurt anything, and let him drive it the way he wants. Leave the guy alone.
If it doesn't stall and it doesn't shudder
and buck and spit and fight and do everything else,
then he's really not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, you'll be so absorbed with the RAV4 and the kids, you won't care if he smashes this thing up.
You'll fall out of love with that BMW in a heartbeat when you take delivery of the RAV4. BMW will mean nothing to you. You'll say, BMW? What does that mean?
Yeah.
All right, so I'll just let him drive it however he wants.
Of course.
See you, Marcia.
All right, thanks.
And good luck with those sweet little guys in the back seat.
Two boys.
Yeah?
You lucky guy.
Gail. See ya.
Thanks for your help.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
I wonder if she's going to name them like Ray and Tom. We didn't ask her that.
It would be fitting.
It would be.
Yeah, it would be a tribute to us.
It would.
It would be stupid. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Bill from Dover, Delaware.
Hey, Bill.
Bill.
Why do I have the feeling we've spoken before?
Everybody says that.
Really?
They say I have a voice that sounds like everybody
else. Oh, you sound like the guy from the IRS that keeps calling.
Oh, man, he's calling you too?
Anyway, what's up?
Well, about 10 days ago, I'm driving to the airport with my wife. And the airport's about an hour and a half away. We went to Baltimore. Well, 6 o'clock in the morning, we're halfway there. Man, the temperature gauge goes up, skyrockets.
Oh.
Jeez.
Isn't it always the way?
Oh, man. I had a flight at 7:10 and it's 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we decided to go to the Western Auto. It opened at 8 o'clock, and sure enough, the water hose is broken on the top, you know?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, since then, the temperature gauge has been fluctuating up and down.
And all you did that day was replace a hose?
Yes.
You haven't told us yet what kind of a car it is.
Oh,
but
I
wanted to guess.
Okay.
Really? You're going to guess what kind of a car it is?
Well, I'm going to start big.
You're going to start?
I'm going to scale it down. Does it have four wheels?
Yes.
All right. Is it made in America?
No.
Yes.
It is.
I won't buy anything else except American.
Okay, well, I have no idea what it is.
I don't either. I was going to guess it was a Volvo until he said that.
I was going to guess it was a Honda. I was heading for Honda, but...
Yeah. It's a 93 Sable station wagon, Mercury Sable station wagon.
Okay.
Which hose was it?
It was the top hose.
To the radiator.
Real short one.
Yeah.
No, coming off the water pump.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's a right-angled hose.
Oh, the little skinny hose.
Yeah.
Yeah, those blow all
you.
The time.
Okay.
And now the temperature gauge has been erratic.
Right.
When you did this.
Yes.
You saw that the hose was broken. You pulled off the old hose. How much stuff did you lose?
Well, he didn't do it himself. They did it.
They did it, yeah. Everything was
But you
lost.
Were watching them. How much fluid did they lose?
No, he was in the waiting room pacing.
Yeah,
he was going to miss his
plane. The waiting room. They wouldn't let me in.
He doesn't know how much he lost.
Oh, you don't know any of these answers.
No, what they did was they put the hose on there, but knowing you were in a hurry or maybe not doing a complete job, they left some air in the system.
They didn't bleed it.
So I think it's airbound.
That's what it is. There's
did it
air
overheat
in the system.
That day that hose blew, did it overheat?
Yes, it did.
Well, then I would change the thermostat because you probably croaked it.
Ah, okay.
I would replace the thermostat and get all the air out of there, fill it up to the tippity top with antifreeze, and everything will happen like it's supposed to.
Ah, great.
See you, Bill.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hi. Okay, Tommy, I think it's time we take a little break so we can regroup.
Let me get this. By regroup, you mean we put our heads together, we think of new ways to solve people's car problems?
No, I mean literally regroup. I'm going into the other room with the Bugsy and the Berman group. To get away from you.
Fine, fine. We'll be back in just a minute.
The West Virginia mountains broke my MG. My daddy came to PA to rescue me. He took me home in his Plymouth Fury. He said, son, I'm gonna fix you right if you just listen to me. Get you a Dodge Dart. You'll love your Dodge Dart. It will never break your heart. You'll love your Dodge Dart.
And even though man-eating Atlantic sharks complain we give the East Coast a bad name whenever we say it, this is NPR. This episode of Car Talk is supported by AT&T. With AT&T, the network is on demand, the office is mobile, and the cloud is designed for high security. Learn more at att.com/focus. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and I believe my brother has something he wants to talk about.
Well, you
Tommy,
might remember,
the floor is yours.
Remember years ago, we got a call from some poor guy whose elderly father wanted to drive across the country like a six-week trip. And the caller and his brother got talked into going with him.
I remember it well.
I mean, does that sound like hell or what? Anyway, it gave us this idea. We would like to collect the worst stories of driving vacations, or road trips that went wrong, like the time your radiator blew out in Death Valley or your VW Squareback burst into flames on Route 66, and your college girlfriend dumped you on the spot and your windshield wipers aren't working anymore. The time you picked up those funny-smelling hitchhikers and then you ended up in a Mexican jail. But if you have a story about a road trip gone awry, it doesn't have to be a vacation. Any kind of road trip.
Anything where you were in the car and some catastrophe.
Yeah. Go to our website, cartalk.com. You'll see the Highway to Hell section right on the homepage. We'll post the most amusing stories when we get enough of them and read the best one here on the show. That's what I'm asking.
Is that all the winner gets? A lousy reading on the show?
It's not a winner. It's a guy or a woman who has gone through some horrible trauma, and we're simply going to acknowledge on public radio.
And make that person relive it.
Make that person relive and suffer all that pain all over again. And you should get a prize for that.
Okay. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything else, you know, or if you can't wait to participate and you want to tell your story right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Lee Thompson in Columbia, South Carolina.
Hey, Lee. How you doing, Lee?
Pretty good, pretty good. I've
Excellent.
Got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
I've got a 1986 Honda Civic, and it's pretty warm down here. My wife was driving it the other day, and it started spewing water vapor.
Through the air conditioner.
Yeah, we took it to the Honda dealer.
What did he say?
He said there was nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah,
he's right.
Well, gee whiz.
I mean, there probably is nothing wrong with it. I mean, what's happening? I mean, what's happening is clouds are forming in your car.
Oh, gee.
I think because...
That explains those little thunderbolts. I'm glad I don't have those tires.
Yeah, when you start getting lightning, then you have to worry.
Well, the lightning isn't so bad, it's the hail.
No kidding.
I mean, you got all this cold air, right?
Go ahead, he's going to try to explain
this. No, you're going
to
love this.
I know I am.
When he first starts out, he's trying to air condition a very hot, humid car.
Well, under what circumstances, Lee, does the steam come out, or the vapor, the clouds?
Well, it must have been a pretty humid day.
Sure.
But had she been driving the car for a long time?
I think she just got into it. And
see, my theories are getting better every minute here, isn't it?
Scares me.
And when all this ice-cold air, almost ice-cold air, hits that humidity, what happens when you got water vapor and you cool it off?
Yeah,
you took PChem 561.
Yeah, but I dropped out after 3 weeks.
It condenses.
That's right.
And it turns into rain.
Oh, okay.
Or at least something like rain, which is a cloud.
All right. Well,
but otherwise, the air conditioner worked satisfactorily, except for the formation of the clouds.
Yeah, as far as I know, it doesn't seem to cool off very fast.
Hmm. Okay, well, I had a similar experience of the day. My wife and the kids and I were driving in some car. I don't remember what it was.
You were married?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
It's a secret. Don't tell anybody. And I had the air conditioner. It was a hot day. And we were driving on the highway, and the air conditioner was on full blast, and it was about 45 degrees in the car.
Did you have your hat with the flaps?
I had the hat with the flaps on and the gloves.
And the gloves.
And as we came close to the house, I realized that it might be, I thought that it might be cooler, and I opened a couple of windows. I pressed the buttons, and two windows went down, and within about a minute of having that infusion
of hot, moist
air, huge clouds started pouring out of the air conditioner vents for that very reason. Only because of that. And had I not opened the windows, that wouldn't have happened.
No.
Because the air conditioner recirculates
right
to a certain extent and keeps the cold air in the car. But once I let all that hot air in, that moist hot air, that's what happened. Now, this car has a lever for recirculate and outside
air.
It should be on recirculate.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah, of
course. That might be the problem.
So you may have this.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. It does seem to cool it off a little bit faster that way once all the hot air is
gone. Yeah.
It cools it off faster if you have it on recirculate. It does take in, even on recirculate, it does take in a certain percentage of outside air anyway. And it would probably prevent this from happening if you kept it on recirculate.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, guys. You know, you were talking about the static wedgie there. The last show about the MX4 Michelin?
Yes,
I do recall.
The electric wedgie, I think it was called.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
That's not really the correct technical terminology.
No? Well,
what is it?
No. See, I've got brochures from the Automotive Society of Sciences. You may be familiar with that.
Yes, I know them.
Dr. Max Posterior.
Yes, I know him too.
The actual technical term for that is the electrostatically induced crack encroachment.
Electrostatically induced crack encroachment.
Yeah, deleterious wedgification effect.
Wedgification.
Yeah, those technical briefs have a load of information in them, man.
Thanks for calling, Lee.
Quite welcome.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Now, Lee was a real sleeper. Now, you wouldn't have expected...
He just sneaked out and went in, didn't he?
I wouldn't have expected that from Lee at all. I would have expected a very southernly...
In fact, I wondered if he made up that whole story on the air conditioner just so we could sneak in his little zinger there.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kathy in Logan, Utah.
Hi, Kathy.
Kathy.
Logan?
Yeah.
I've never been there.
Where is Logan?
It is way up in the northern corner up by the Idaho border.
Ooh, that must be an exciting little
corner. Oh, it's where Idaho and Wyoming and...
Yeah, and Utah all come together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, I know you. You're near Bear Lake.
Yes, Bear Lake.
I've been there.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I think I've been there. Anyway,
all right.
Now that we've had a geography lesson for the week, what's up?
Okay, I have a 94 Dodge Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And my son locked the keys in the trunk, and it was our only copy of the key. And so we went through the back seat to get into the trunk to get the key.
Yeah.
And we can't get the backrest of the back seat back in place properly.
Yeah.
So whenever
pain?
I brake, you know, hit the brakes really hard, the front seat, you know, the seat goes flying forward with the kids, and I just can't figure out how to get it hooked back in there. Do I need to take it to the dealer, or am I just missing something? There was nothing about it in the owner's manual.
Oh, no.
How did you get it out?
Well, my husband pulled it out, just brute strength. But it looks like there's like a little catchy thing. I mean, it wasn't hard. He didn't break anything to get it out.
Usually you have to lift it up to pull it out. Did he just pull it straight out? He may have. Maybe
he
can't find the little things it hooks on because he broke them off.
Here's the important question. How long after your son locked the keys in the car did your husband remove the seat? Was it within 1 hour?
I don't know. Probably not, because I think we searched everywhere.
After you gave up the search.
After we gave up the search, he pulled the seat off. Oh, pretty, you know, pretty quick.
He broke something.
You think so?
Yeah, if he had gone into the house and sat down, taken a nap.
Thought about it a little bit.
Maybe read something, maybe even read the book on how to remove the seat. Maybe he wouldn't have wrecked it. But if he did it in anger.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't angry.
How do you know that?
Well, he's a very mellow person. He, you know, he doesn't get angry too much.
He may have that internal anger. Yeah.
Okay.
He may have it. Don't ever trust those mellow types.
So he should.
Especially when they're bent over trying to rip something out of the back seat of a little Spirit that's so hard to get into anyway because it's so little.
Yes, it was a very frustrating day.
When your knee is on that.
Oh, other things that happened that day?
Well, no, pretty much just this, because we couldn't find, you know, once you get in the trunk, it's dark. We couldn't find a flashlight.
How old is your son that did this?
9.
Oh, that's excusable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what he could have broken, although he could have broken something. But I think at this point, is he tried unsuccessfully to put this back in, and is he now getting angry about it?
Many times.
My husband is extremely unmechanically inclined, and he hasn't. Once he got it out, he didn't try putting it back in.
He was so proud of himself at that point.
Exactly.
So, he got it out, and he said to you, Kathy, this is your job. You figure out how to go.
You put it back in.
That's right. He couldn't just pound it back in, you know, with his strength.
Oh, you should take it right to the Chrysler dealer.
Well, my son did the very same thing. I think he was like 23 at the time. No, he was a young kid, like 10. And he asked for the key to the car so he could put something in the trunk or get something out of the trunk. And he came back 10 minutes later with the sheepish look on his face, and he said, he locked the key in the trunk.
And after 7 or 8 dope slaps.
And my brother actually did the very same thing. He got in the back seat, and he, like an animal, he broke the back seat. I think it was a Buick. And he ripped out the back seat and was able actually to get the key and take it out.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean,
yeah. Yeah, but we never got it back, so it worked.
No, you never can, actually.
You never can. They go in once, and that's it.
No, I think you're not putting the seat into the clips correctly. But rather than explain it to you, if you go to the dealer or any gas station, they'll have the thing back in for you within 5 minutes.
Well, now, is the dealer going to charge me to do this?
Do you think they are? Some kind of
charitable organization?
No,
what do you think you're dealing with here? UNICEF?
Well, I don't know. They were pretty nice. My wipers didn't work properly, and it was some old thing that I had done, and they just did it for free. I didn't.
Oh, that could be then. See, we live in a big, ugly city, and there isn't a dealer within 100 miles of here that would even give you the time of day for nothing. You walk in and say, what time is it? And
they
say, 20
bucks. 60 bucks an hour, jerk. Maybe out in Logan, Utah.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
The pace
nice.
Of life is slower, and I'm sure you will find some good soul who will reinstall your seat with a smile and a you all come back now.
Okay.
And unless your husband broke the thing, in which case it'll probably cost you around $300.
Well, that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah, well,
everything.
You might as well face the music, Kathy. See you later.
All right, thanks.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bruce from Seattle, Washington.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Is it raining?
Buckets pouring. You don't want to come out here.
Don't want to move there, right?
Yeah, no. Forget it. And the coffee's bad, too. Totally overrated. I'm on my third cup.
What's up?
I've got an 84 Ranger, and when it's cold, it starts rough, it idles rough. It takes a long time to move from cold up to warm, and then it'll stall out. And what will happen is I'll get about 20 minutes over to the grocery store or, you know, someplace to buy a new raincoat, and
Good.
I'll park it for about 20 minutes, get back in it, and then it'll just go wah, and it won't turn over. So finally, one day, I called the tow truck guys, and I'm on a first name basis with them now, and they came out, and he pumps the accelerator three times, and just real aggressively turns it, and it cranks and turns over, and he goes, "It's your choke release." So I take it to Pete, my mechanic, and I say, "Pete, it's either two things. It's either possessed by evil spirits, you know, the New Age is pretty big out here.
Oh, yeah.
And or it's the choke release." And so he had it for about a day or so, and he says, "Well, your choke is okay, but I replaced the rotor cap."
Yeah.
Thing is it runs better than it did, but it still has this kind of distressing problem of, like, when I pull away in the morning to get into traffic, it'll kind of go, and then, kind of get wonky on me, and then I've got to tap the accelerator and get it to go. So, you know, I don't know what it is. I mean, I haven't consulted any shamans lately, but something tells me that there's something mechanical going on there.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Well, you may have the choke release he's referring to is actually something called the choke pull-off.
Yeah, we use this as an answer to just about every question we got from 1981 to 1992.
Well, it's interesting. Just recently, I was reading an article someplace that stated that there were umpteen gajillion of these that were replaced on General Motors cars because the whole batch of them were faulty. They were defective. And it would have been an item for recall, except it never presented any real danger to anyone. So it could be that your choke pull-off is not working correctly.
Right.
And in fact, it's making the thing. Does it run poorly even when it's not being driven when the engine's cold? In other words, when you first start it in the morning, does it run kind of rough?
Yeah, it'll run kind of rough. And then what I'll try to do is I'll race the engine and try to get so I can hurry up and get it through its coughing phases.
Jeez, I hate to agree with a tow truck driver.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but you can test it yourself.
Right.
You start it up tomorrow morning after it's had a whole night to sit there in the street.
Okay.
And you take off the air cleaner.
Yeah.
And while it's running really, really rough,
uh-huh,
just push down just a little bit on that choke plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is? That's the butterfly that sits on top of the carburetor.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And when the engine is warmed up, it's completely vertical. And when it's cold, it's in various stages of horizontality.
Uh-huh. Horizontality, yeah. Horizontalness.
Horizontalness.
No, horizontality is better. I like it.
It's
flat.
It's flat, yeah.
And if you take a pencil, for example, and while the engine is running poorly, you push that pencil so as to open that thing up a little bit, make it stand up more vertically.
Right. And I've done that before when this thing has not started up after I've driven it for about 15 minutes.
But you've got to do it while it's running and running poorly. And as soon as you do that, if it begins to run very smoothly, then that's your problem. The choke pull-off isn't working or it's out of adjustment.
And the tow truck driver was 100% right, and Pete wasn't.
Uh-oh. Boy, I hope Pete
wouldn't that be an embarrassment for Pete?
Yeah, it's going to be even worse for me. I'll have to find another mechanic.
Well, no, you don't. You go to the tow truck driver. Set him up in business. Say you've got a natural talent for this. Get you all the 84 Rangers we can find.
And drive them off a cliff.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like that's what the problem is.
Uh-huh.
So go for it, man. If that works,
okay.
Let us know. And if it doesn't work, don't let us know.
All right. Well, I'll try that choke plate deal, and we'll see what happens. I may give you a call back if it does turn out to be evil spirits, of course.
Okay. So. All right. You may be on Stump the Chump someday. You never know, Bruce.
Okay.
See you later.
All right, thanks, guys. You're great. We listen to you every week.
Yeah, in the rain.
Right. Yeah, in the rain.
The rain. All right.
Okay. Bonne chance, Bruce. Bonne chance.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll tell you what to do if you find yourself in urgent need of a puzzler.
Oh, it sounds painful.
It is. We'll be back in a minute.
No, I can't seem to get away from here. And I have driven fast to stay free. Taos to Mexico to Tennessee. Austin was a nice place to be as I drove around in circles in my car. Bury me in my car, it has taken me very far. No matter where you are,
And even though Chicken Little says, okay, now do you believe me? Whenever we say it, this is NPR.
We'd like to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Since you're listening to Car Talk, chances are at some point you'll be thinking about new tires. If you couldn't hear what I just said over the road noise your old tires are making, you might want to think about new tires right now. At TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, will be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and not the new Puzzler.
No, the Puzzler is still on vacation, of course, and we're what? We're back here sweating over a hot microphone. I mean, all right, this is not fair. Why should the Puzzler be on vacation and we be here?
Well, I was going to take another week off, but then Berman called and flattered me into coming back.
He flattered you? Dougie flattered you?
Yeah, he said he had recently described me as absolutely indispensable.
No, he said indefensible, you dope.
Oh, that does make a lot more sense, doesn't it?
All right, I have some mail to read in place of the Puzzler.
Good.
And this is good, actually. I think this is going to be very helpful to you. I try to be helpful to our listeners, to give them some idea of ways.
A little tidbit of information. Knowledge.
Something that can help them to improve their lives. And this one falls into that category.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from. All I know is it came from Sherry Kretzinger. But where it really came from,
nobody knows.
Here it is. It is excerpts from a home economics textbook for high school girls.
You made a very sexist assumption.
Because
home economics textbooks are not for high school girls.
Well, this one was because it was from the 50s.
Oh, okay.
See, so I didn't make a sexist remark there.
But you would have, given the opportunity.
I would have, yes. And so the original textbook was, in fact, written for high school girls to teach them how to prepare for married life. And someone, of course, in today's modern day, has updated.
Cool.
Okay. For example, number one says, have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal on time. This is a way of letting him know that you have been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs. Most men are hungry when they come home, and the prospects of a good meal are part of the warm welcome needed.
Sounds good to me.
Here's the updated version. Have dinner ready. Make reservations well ahead of time. If your day is too hectic, leave him a voicemail message regarding where you'd like to eat and at what time. This lets him know that your day has been crappy and gives him an opportunity to try to change your mood. Here we are. Prepare the children. Take a few minutes to wash the children's hands and faces if they are small, comb their hair, and if necessary, change their clothes. They are little treasures, and he would love to see them playing the part. Mm. And the new version is, prepare the children. Drop them off at grandma's. Number five here, minimize the noise. At the time of his arrival, eliminate all noise of washer, dryer, dishwasher, or vacuum cleaner. Try to encourage the children to be quiet. Be happy to see him. Greet him with a warm smile, and be glad to see him. Minimize the noise. When he arrives at home, remind him that the washer and garbage disposal are still not working properly and the noise is driving you crazy. Do this in a nice way. Greet him with a warm smile. That way, he might fix it faster. It ends with, the goal is to make your home a place of peace and order.
Yes.
Where your husband can relax. And the modern version is, the goal to try to keep things amicable without reminding him that you make more money than he does. But, I mean, the 50s book was, I think, that's the one I go for.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See what your wife thinks. Hey, by the way, if you do feel the need to work on a Puzzler, there's one posted at our website right now, cartalk.com. It's an ABS Puzzler.
Oh, anti-lock brakes?
No, already been solved. Oh. But maybe it's new to you. I mean, you know, you haven't seen it before. Or like my brother, you've just forgotten it.
Yeah.
So that's the classic Puzzler, and it'll be there all week.
Wow.
If you'd like to converse with us at this very moment, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hello, good
day. How are you?
Who's this?
Oh, who knows? You know, I thought I'd never be driven to this desperation to call you guys.
Things must be really bad, huh?
But this is just a problem that's got everybody stumped.
No kidding.
Why do we get these callers? I mean, doesn't anyone screen these calls?
Well, no. First of all, my name is Mike. I'm calling from San Diego.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
And, well, who knows? I'll know after I get through talking.
Okay.
But I've got a 1984 Lincoln. It's an LSC. It's got about 105,000 miles on it, and I've replaced everything from the water pump to the transmission. Well, I've got what's called an easy ride system. That levels the car out according to the load that's put into the car.
Yes.
And if you get some rather rotund people in the back, it creates some problems on it. Of its own.
Yeah. Porkers, we call them.
Yeah, porkers. At any rate, I was...
Not mothers-in-law.
No, that's not politically correct anymore.
Talk about them.
Porkers.
Well, you call them in-laws. I call them outlaws.
Wait, is this a town car?
No, it's a two-door coupe, a Mark 7.
It's a Mark something.
Right.
84. It isn't a 7. It's probably a Mark 1.
I was coming back from TJ with my nephew, Chewy. And he's a rather large individual. When I stuck him in the back of the car, and the passenger in the rear seat of the car, as we were going down the road, after about 10 minutes, the car started to dip on the side that he was at.
Yeah.
And my suspension light went on, and it turns out that by the time he gets out of the car dips on one side. And depending whatever side he sits on, it dips on that side. So if he sits on one side, it'll dip to the right. If he sits on the other, it dips to the left.
Why doesn't he sit in the middle?
He's a real dip, this guy.
Really, the solution is to not have him sit at all. But I've taken it to the local dealers, and they replace the air pump, but they can't figure out why it's continuing to dip.
Yeah.
And so I thought, Jesus, if the mechanics can't figure it out, I've gone... to everybody, they just know what to do. So they said, look, replace the air pump. If not, just make it a total low rider.
Well,
So your rationale was, I've gone to all the people who know something about it, and they can't figure it out.
Try the dummies that don't.
And I figure, hey, advice is free. Your advice is free.
That's right.
So when Chewbacca's in the back seat, how long does it take before the thing dips to that side?
It takes about 10 to 15 minutes as you're going down the road. And then the check suspension idiot light goes on.
Well, yeah, because it's bottomed out.
Right.
Geez, I mean, I've got to think that you have a leak someplace between the pump. What's back there are two air shocks. That's basically what they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're inflatable shock absorbers.
Well, why is it if I put my fleshy cousin on the other side
that
it dips to the other side? It dips left and right is what it does.
But only in the back? What if he sits in the front?
No, it dips on the left side, the entire left side.
Oh.
Left side, front, and rear. And if he sits on the other side, it dips on the right side, front, and rear.
No kidding.
Jeez,
oh, I've stumped you. Good. And I don't feel so bad.
Front and rear.
Front and rear on the side.
So these guys replace the pump?
Replace the pump.
Mm. What was their next plan of attack?
Their next plan of attack was simply to make it a total low rider. Just say, look, go with the flow
and
drop it all the way to the ground. Yeah. My wife's suggestion was don't allow any fleshy people back.
Fleshy? Gravitationally challenged?
That's it. But you got to understand, he occupies a large portion of that rear seat upholstery.
What does he weigh?
About 350.
That is Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Why do you call him Chewy?
Well, we don't. When you get to weights, that's a really scientific notation. 3.5 times 10 to the second.
That's it.
All right. So he sits on the left side, and after 10 or 15 minutes, the whole car is tilting to the left. Front and rear on the left is now boom.
Right.
And if he stays in there, the left front will actually bottom right out.
It bottoms out, both the left front and the right front.
Is the pump running?
Oh, you can hear that little rascal running.
And it keeps running.
Sounds like a hamster in there.
I mean, I think
it's gonna be a leak.
It's gotta be a leak.
It's gotta be a leak where?
Ask me that.
One of those little tubes. There are little tubes that run to each one of those shocks.
Oh, so you're not gonna tell me this isn't a cheap fix?
I don't think so.
Oh. No, I think it is a cheap fix.
Oh,
I
mean,
it's an expensive find. But a cheap fix.
Well, no, I mean, I would replace all of them.
All four?
They're cheap.
Is that a closed system, or do they operate independently?
Well, they have to operate independently, otherwise...
Well, the two rear ones operate simultaneously, I believe. I don't think the rear ones are independent. Well, I don't know. I never worked at one. No Lincoln owner would come into our garage.
Wait, I don't know. I mean, I suspect that all four of them work independently.
So I can replace one at a time.
Ah, that's good.
Well, I mean,
I would certainly start by replacing the ones in the back.
Well, great, great. Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I'd start there.
No?
I don't know where I'd start.
Well, maybe I should start on somebody else's car.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't think once you find out how simple it is, I think you're going to say, what the hell? What am I goofing around for? Only on the basis of some scientific experimentation would you want to do them one at a time. But I think in the interest of practicality, you might want to go under there and replace them all.
I think what I might do is just go ahead and just buy a scale, and nobody over 185.
Right.
I'll keep that in the trunk, and just like you prop a tire,
yeah,
just throw it aside and just wait before you get in.
Chewy run alongside the car in no time. He'll be down to 180.
That's it. Okay, guys.
Good luck, Mike.
Hey, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Laura calling from Greenville, New York.
Dr. Laura, how are you?
I'm fine.
What's up?
Greenville, New York.
It's a small town south of Albany.
Oh, gee, up there, huh?
Yeah. Beautiful Catskill Mountains view. Very nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hence, I drive my 95 Subaru Legacy all-wheel drive wagon.
Yeah.
I had it for about 2 years. It's got 114,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
The gas gauge I'm noticing about 5 months ago is not accurately. It's like, you know, 3/4, half a tank, down to zero, back up to half.
Right, right.
And then after that, I'm going to fill it in the gas station, and it's stopping at about 6 gallons. Bing, it won't let me put any more in. It's a 12-gallon tank.
Oh, that's because it's not empty.
Well, okay, but then I go to get in the car, and the gas gauge is still only reading like 3/4 of a tank.
Right. Yeah.
It's never reading full.
Right.
And so I took it to the dealer, and they said, well, it's probably the gas sensor, blah, 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 the gate.
Right, the sending unit, yeah.
$450.
Wow.
Which is a lot of money for, I mean, it's a convenience thing.
Sure. And you're calling us to see if we can touch up the x-rays.
Yes. I mean, is this, like, necessary? I mean, what can I do?
So here's what you have to do. You have any friends?
I have a brother who's handy with
doesn't have to be handy.
No, doesn't have to be handy. He has
to have a phone.
Did you see that episode of Seinfeld?
Do I know where you're going?
Yeah. Did you see that episode of Seinfeld when Kramer takes the Saab out for the test drive? And, of course, the needle's on empty.
Uh-huh.
And he decides he's going to drive it until it runs out of gas. And he finally convinces the salesman that it's going to be the biggest adventure of his life. So you have to set your trip odometer to zero.
But I got, yeah.
You're going to know what it can do, Laura.
But I got 3 kids.
Leave the kids home.
Leave the kids home. When it gets down, when it reads empty and you would have gone to put in the lousy 6 gallons.
No, first of all, you fill the tank right to the tippity top.
Yeah.
And then you set the trip odo to zero. You reset the thing.
Right.
And you drive. And you drive. Mm-hmm. And when you think you're out of gas...
Don't do anything.
Keep going.
Okay.
And you have the brother-in-law follow you.
Yeah.
Oh, you take the cell phone. You got to know how far the thing will really go. My guess is you can go 400 miles on a tank full of gas.
Well, I mean, you do know how far you can go on 6 gallons.
Yeah. Well, yeah, true.
So you got to know. I think you got to know. And, you know, if you take a can of gas with you, you won't be stranded.
That's dangerous, isn't it? In the back of the car, 3 kids, fumes, that whole thing.
None of them smoke, do they?
No, it isn't dangerous. If you get an official certified gas can, it's not. I mean, it's dangerous, of course, but so's the gas in the tank dangerous.
Yeah, as long as you don't leave it in an unattended car. If you were to put the tank in the car and drive it, you know, with the can filled up, as long as it was closed, it would be all right. And then when you ran out, you would know exactly how many miles you go on a full tank of gas, and it would... Put your mind at ease. I mean, the alternative, of course, is to put the sending unit in, which I admit is a lot of money.
Where is the sending unit? Is it in the gas tank?
Yeah, it sure is.
So they've got to take the tank off and take, or do they just put a new tank?
I believe they have to take the tank out, which is pretty stupid.
So
I mean, there are a lot of cars which have an access hole, and some of the cars that are like the most absurd to work on, oddly enough, have the access hole. They figure they're killing you on everything else. They might as well give you an access hole. That you can actually open up. It's like a little metal plate with a bunch of screws, and then it exposes this sending unit thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take it out and blonk the new one in there in a few minutes.
It's actually quite unconscionable to not do this, because the only reason you have to take the tank out is because you have to access it from the top of the tank. And if you could only get to the top of the tank, you could do it, and it would be a lot cheaper than $450.
So it's a big labor issue.
Well, I don't know exactly. I'm sure the unit itself costs a few hundred dollars, if not more.
Yeah.
And it may be incorporated into the fuel pump. But with, I'll tell, how many miles do you have in this thing?
112.
112? If it, ask them if, in fact, it does include the fuel pump.
Okay.
Do it.
I will.
Do it, because the fuel pump's getting ready to conk out anyway. You might as well replace it.
So, okay, so if it's included in the fuel pump, fix it.
If the fuel pump comes with it, then I would put it in. If it doesn't, then buy the gas can and drive, Laura, drive. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the East Tahiti, Baked Stuff Ziti, Extra Meaty, Frosty Weedy, and Rio Needy Free Lunch Treaty with your ex's new sweetie, it's John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Mara Genovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our second shift meteorologist is Claudio Vernight. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahmed Ahmed. Our martial arts trainer is Anita DeGroin. Our physics graduate student is Laura Venersha. Our alignment specialist is Lou Sagusi. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn, and the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Lewis Dewey, known to the teenage werewolves skulking behind their parents in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1529, download other time-wasting episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, no factory recalls yet. That's the slogan on our new Car Talk t-shirt, made of 100% cotton to absorb all weights of motor oil and iced coffee. No factory recalls yet commemorates that Car Talk has never been recalled by NPR. Of course, I haven't checked my email today. Take a look at it, along with Car Talk mugs, best of Car Talk collections, and more at the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though tear-shaped boulders run down the faces on Mount Rushmore whenever we say it, this is NPR.